السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأتقياء وأصحابه الأسقياء. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات، بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون. ولا تحسبن الذين قتلوا في سبيل الله أمواتا، بل أحياء عند ربهم يرزقون. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم وسلم عليه. يا brothers, respected ulama, beginning in the name of Allah, thanking, praising, glorify Him, seek His forgiveness and ask Him to send His infinite mercy upon His beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to forgive our sins and to guide us all to the right path, to enlighten our hearts with His love for His beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, love for those who love Allah and love for those who are loved by Allah, so that we can live our life like Muslims, die like Muslims, and rise like Muslims on the day of Qiyamah. Inshallah, with Allah's fazl and mercy, we would like to discuss some of the issues surrounding the tragedy at Karbala. Sadly, this is one of the most tragic events to occur in the history of Islam. And it is probably the most mourned death in the history of not just Islam, but humanity. No death has probably been mourned as much as the Shahada of the Hussein. In order for us to really appreciate its significance, there are a couple of things we need to understand. Firstly, what is Shahada? Important, significant virtue of Shahada. Secondly, his achievements and his status is because he was grandson and a member of the Prophet's family. So we need to understand a little bit about the Prophet's family as well, to get a better and a wider understanding of the whole issue. And then, is Hazrat Hussain the only Shaheed in the history of humanity in Islam? And then, Allah willing, time permitting, we will try and understand the events which led to this unfortunate and extremely tragic incident. There can be no justification. There can be absolutely no reason for such an issue. And this really is a very dark stain in the history of Islam. So firstly, what is Shahada? Shahada is the opportunity and the honor to give one's life to the cause of Allah for His glory. And this is something that every Muslim should envy, every Muslim should pray for, and something that every Muslim should try and achieve. Obviously, only those persons or those people will be bestowed with this honor in whose kismet and destiny such an honor is written. But we can at least wish and pray for this. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, he desired Shahada so much. He said, "Awaqtu ruqtan fi sabilillah, thumma uqtalu, thumma uqtalu, thumma uqtalu, thumma uqtalu." I wish I could be killed in the path of Allah. Then we made a lie, then we came, then we made a lie, then we came, then we made a lie, then we came, then we made a lie, then we came. And he ended the scenario at being killed in the path of Allah, not being left to live. So being killed in the path of Allah is something Rasulullah himself desired. But obviously, Rasulullah was never ever going to
die initially. He was never going to be killed because Allah has ordained and written. كَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِي. Allah has written, ordained. He will always remain dominant and so will his messengers. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was this messenger. He was the mightiest messenger. There were many prophets who were killed. يَقْتُلُونَ النَّبِيِّينَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. People used to kill prophets. Many prophets were killed, even in a day. But no Rasul was ever killed. Rasul are mighty messengers, mighty prophets. Every Rasul is a nothing, but every Nabi is not a Rasul. Nuh alayhi salam was one of the mighty messengers of Allah. He lived 950 years. People used to make fun of him, but nobody took the better of him as such. Ibrahim alayhi salam was a mighty Rasul of Allah, Namrud, wisdom, an enormous fire. They threw him in the fire, but Allah protected and saved. Musa alayhi salam, he was wanted to be killed by Fir'aun and his people. Did they have their way or did Allah have his way? How many children were killed in order to have Musa alayhi salam? Allah put Musa alayhi salam in the lap of Fir'aun. Someone once stated that once Musa alayhi salam was giving up Fir'aun, the lap of Fir'aun, he got hold of his fear and gave him a slap. Fir'aun knew this is the boy I actually want. But could he do anything? And so Allah was telling me, let's see what you can do. I came, go and see. But could you do anything? Why? Because Musa was a mighty messenger of Allah. The Jews and the Romans conspired to kill, crucify Isa alayhi salam. Christians, they say what they say, but the Quran says, and the Quran tells us, Allah raised, Allah raised Isa alayhi salam, saved him. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah will remind him of his status. The Hawla protected him and assisted him with Ruhul Qudus. How many times did the people around Rasulullah try to plot and kill him? The Jews tried their best. They could have him saved. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was never going to be killed, but he wished to be killed in the path of Allah. And anyone who wishes, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man sa'ala Allah wa shahada. Anyone who asks Allah sincerely to be killed in his path, Allah loves him so much. This is asking Allah sincerely, Ya Allah, when I die, how do I die in your path? Just to ask Allah to be sincere. Allah knows what's in your heart. One is lip service, one is sincere asking. Anyone who asks Allah, that when his time of death comes, Allah takes him away in his path. Allah will elevate him to the status of shuhada, even though he may die in death. But Allah manazil al-shuhada, aw manazil al-shuhada, wa immata ala firash. So sahaba used to wish to be killed in the path of Allah. Khalid ibn Walid, he had the utmost desire, and he would jump in the thickest of battles, so that he can be killed. But Rasulullah has given a name which he showed that he will never be killed. Had it been anybody else, there would be no chance of him coming out alive. Rasulullah gave him the title Sayyidina Yusufillah, the sword of the sword of Allah. So had anybody ever killed him, they would have been able to claim, we have broken the sword of Allah. And would they have broken the sword of Allah? No one. So Khalid was never going to die in shame. As Umar radiallahu anhu, he wished, I be killed in the party. Allahumma, urzuqni shahadatan fi sabilik wa jalloki fi balad rasulik. Ya Allah, make my death come in your path and give me most in the city of the blessed Prophet. Sahaba used to say, Umar, how are you going to get shahadat in the path of Allah? Death in Medina. As Umar used to say, Allah will listen to me, Allah will give me, will accept my dua. And Allah did. Not only Allah gave him shahadat and death in Medina, Allah gave Umar radiallahu anhu shahadat on the musallam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There were so many other shaheeds. Our history is, mashallah, illuminated with such glowing stars for shuhada. Umar radiallahu anhu, Baqur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if there was a candle of prophet after him, who is the father of Islam. Wallahu ta'ala aqbala lisan Umar wa qalbi. Allah is the haqq of the heart and the hand of Umar. Laqad kana fima qablakum min al-umami muhaddathu al-ghayyat la'akum fi ummati fa innahu Umar. There were people Allah used to put, meaning Allah used to inspire. Allah used to put in their hearts what Allah wanted. So many a time Umar radiallahu anhu said something and it was the way Allah wanted. Allah used his words. Allah put them in the Quran and in the Quran of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is the status of Umar radiallahu anhu. Not only was Shaitan too scared to face him, Shaitan was even scared of the shadow of Umar. Then Usman ibn Nurayn, Usman the possessor of two lives. Yesterday was the 18th of the Hijrah. That is the day Usman radiallahu anhu was martyred. And what a man Usman was. The Prophet once mentioned different problems. And he was sitting among some families. And the Prophet saw a man walking by. And he said to him, there is no difficult time for people and for God. This man, this man will be on the truth. He was wearing a shawl wrapped around. People couldn't recognize him. And the one that he got up to see who it was Usman. Radiallahu anhu. Never has there been any other man in the entire history of humanity who had the honor and good fortune of coming to the door of the Prophet to ask for the hand of his daughters in marriage twice. Many had the honor once. Everybody else. Once. Usman is the only man who came to the door of Rasulullah twice. When Rasulullah first ordered Umayya radiallahu anha, who was wife of Hazrat Usman, she passed away. Hazrat Usman was visiting his wife and he was sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the Prophet said, Usman, you please have just come to me and told me Allah is commanding me to give you my other daughter in marriage. What an honor! What an honor! Usman radiallahu anhu was so modest, so full of haya. Even Rasulullah said, Allah astahyi min rajulin fastahyi minhu al-malaika. Should I not be modest in the company of a man from whom even the angels are embarrassed to be in his company? And they are modest, they have scarcely haya being around Usman. Rasulullah gave him a show of the paradise on many of the occasions. Many occasions. Once Rasulullah said, Ma dharra Usman ma amila ba'd al-yawm. After today, it doesn't matter what Usman does, nothing will harm him. In other words, even if Usman doesn't do anything after today, paradise is still going to be with him. And such was his honor, such was his aid. He was also martyred while he was in Quran. Like Umar radiallahu anhu was martyred while stepping forward to lead Muslims in Fajr. Abu Lu'lu' Firoz. Firoz Abu Lu'lu', Iranian Majusi. He stepped forward and stabbed Umar radiallahu anhu. And he always treated like a hero. They've dedicated a shrine to him. People go there. In Iran, people go there. And it's a subhanallah. A man who killed such a man, Umar radiallahu anhu. People regard Alexander as the great. Many of you might have gone to school and studied history. Alexander of Macedonia, they regard him as one of the greatest conquerors, generals in the history of humanity. But Alexander of Macedonia, he inherited an empire. He had a disciplined, trained army under him. And he went around. And at the time, he didn't face any real opposition. Scattered tribes here and there. And he conquered them. Left the trail of massacre, bloodshed. But Umar radiallahu anhu didn't inherit any of that. No regular army. Alexander, his empire, soon after he passed away, crumbled within a few years. Didn't leave the world anything, just memory of massacre and bloodshed. Umar radiallahu anhu gave the world discipline, honor, and it is based upon his innovation, what he gave the world, the social system, much of modern politics, modern social system.
system is based on what Umar radiallahu anhu first implemented 1400 years ago. His generals, his soldiers refused to advance further. They rebelled against him. But Umar radiallahu anhu, in the middle of the battle, in the middle of the campaign, he removed his undefeated collar and not a single soul whispered a word. That was the awe. That was the power that Umar radiallahu anhu had. 1400 years down the line, his name still sends shivers down the spine of his body. He was martyred as well. Hamza radiallahu anhu, the Prophet's uncle, his uncle and his brother as well, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Hamza drank the milk of the same woman in the beginning, Suwaya, who was the maidservant of Abu Lahab. So they grew up together as Hamza was the uncle, because Abdul Muttalib and Abdullah, the Prophet's father, were married together. It's a long story. And when Abdul Muttalib, when he asked for Amina's hand in marriage for Abdullah, he proposed for Fatima's cousin for himself as well. So father and son got married together. When Rasulullah was born, Abdullah had already passed away, so Rasulullah was born as an orphan. But Hamza was born around the same time. So they grew up together. Uncle and nephew, but they grew up together. They had immense love for one another. And when Hamza was born, Rasulullah was very sad as well. So the history of Islam, mashallah, there are not hundreds, not thousands, not limited to the number of martyrs this ummah has produced. And when we talk about Shaheed, unfortunately and sadly, due to manipulation, exploitation of certain political agendas, it is only the Shahada, of Hazrat Hussain radiallahu anhu, which is remembered, and not the Shahada of others. And it isn't just remembered, it is mourned. Who do you mourn? Those who die. But Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا تَكُونُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ. Those who are killed in the path of Allah, don't say they are dead. In another verse, Allah says, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا. Don't even think they are dead. Don't even talk about, not just don't talk about them as being dead. Allah says, don't even think that they are dead. But rather they are alive in the presence of their Lord. And they are given rich, yurzaqoon, farihin bima ataahumullahu min fadli. They are so happy at what Allah gives them with His fadl and mercy. They are happy to have achieved what they have achieved. So you are not allowed to mourn people. Such. Allah says, don't think even they are dead. And yes, obviously, when we hear the death of our loved ones, we feel sad. It's natural to feel sad. When Rasulullah said, Ibrahim, radiallahu anhu, when he passed away, Rasulullah was seen crying, tears rolling down his noble and blessed cheeks. Somebody said, Ya Rasulullah, you are crying. The Prophet said, yes. He said, I don't cry. The Prophet said, it's not my fault if your heart is hard. Rasulullah cried. Crying the loss and death of your loved ones, no problem. Natural. Our being is a being of fitra. When you hear someone, the death of someone, instantaneously you feel sad. Especially the death of people who are close to you. But once 3 years have passed, there is no mourning after 3 years. And the only exception is a widow. Yes, she remains in mourning 4 months and 10 days. But other people, they are not allowed to mourn after 3 days. After 3 days, you move on. This was Allah's will. Allah gave life, Allah took it away. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We are happy with whatever Allah desires. And then, after 3 days, Allahu Akbar, then beat yourselves, march on the streets, beating yourselves, cutting yourselves with knives and swords and chains. Laysa minna man darab al hudud wa shaqq al juyub wa da'ida wa jahiliya. Rasulullah said, he is not from amongst us who hits his cheeks
and beats himself and chants slogans of Jahiliya. It's not fitting for a Muslim to behave in that manner, to beat themselves. مَنْ ضَرَبَ الْخُدُودِ وَشَقَّ الْجُيُوبِ فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. He's not from amongst us. Yes, spur of the moment, when you hear the news of somebody's death, if somebody happens, whoa, Allahu Akbar, you do something, spur of the moment, that is overlooked. To exercise complete control, sabr, not everybody can do that. But to whatever you can, spur of the moment is overlooked. When Yaqub alayhi salam lost Yusuf alayhi salam, he complained, Wallahu musta'an wa la tasifun. He was saddened. But every year, to march onto the street, beat yourself, organized manner, there isn't a single incident in the history of Islam from the lives of Sahaba. After 3 days, deliberately, and then collectively, anybody should have mourned anybody's death. But what happens in Muharram, the martyr which is displayed on the street, organized, year after year, beating yourselves, beating themselves with chains, chests, heads, faces, cutting open, Allahu Akbar, is nothing to do with Islam. Absolute Jahiliyyah. On the name of Islam, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ ضَرَبَ الْخُدُورِ وَشَقَّ الْجُيُوبِ وَدَعَبِ دَعَبِ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. Yes, we acknowledge, spur of the moment, a person hears the news, he's saddened. Sometimes people lose senses, they can't control themselves. What happens? Oh, look, deen is a deen of fitrah. You can contain your sabr, alhamdulillah. If you can't, okay. But after 3 days, organized, collective mourning. Never anybody did that in the early days of Islam. So what happens in the name of Allah Hussein, in the name of the family of the Prophet, is nothing but Jahiliyyah. Was Allah Hussein the only member of the Prophet's family?
No.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had other members. If person's family starts with who? One's own wife. When a person is young, living with the parents, you are part of your parents' family. And mashallah, a person grows up, usually what happens when they get married, then what happens? They move on. Set up their own home, mashallah. Then they have their own children. So every person's own family, dependents, they start with his wife. Like somebody, young man, came to Shah, one saintly man, Hazrat Mithwa like in his son. The Shah said, Mithwa, I have to give him his son. Few days later, he came again, Hazrat Mithwa like in his son. He made a dua, I have to give him his son, Ya Allah. Third time again, he came, Hazrat Mithwa like in his son. Ya Allah, give him his son. Fourth time he came, a young man, what is he guy? Are you married yet? He said, well, if I was married, I wouldn't have to do that. So a person goes to family starts when he gets married.
Half an hour.
So a person's own family starts with his own wife. Rasulullah's first wife was Khadija. She was such a wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As long as she was the Prophet's first wife, as long as she remained alive, the Prophet didn't get a second wife. Later on, the beloved Prophet Allah married a number of different women, as in Sauda, Aisha, Hafsa, Umm Salma, Umm Habiba, Mamuna, Zayd ibn Yasir, ibn Khuzaymah, Juwayriya, and others. But when Rasulullah married them, Rasulullah used to share his time with both of them, but as long as the Khadija remained alive, she was the Prophet's only mother. She had the Prophet over herself. And all of the Prophet's children are from her, with the exception of Ibrahim. But when she passed away, Rasulullah married her women. And Allah mentioned in the Quran, النَّبِيُّ وَأَوْلَادُهُ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَأَزْوَاجُهُمْ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ. The Prophet is
wives were not ordinary human.
لا سُنَّة أحد من النساء. They were not like any other woman of the world.
Allah told them especially to be in the companionship of Rasulullah.
Our brothers. And then Allah blessed Rasulullah with sons. His first son was Qasim. Hence Rasulullah to be Abu al-Qasim.
So another name, the Lord should be mentioned, the sons of Rasulullah.
But they all passed away at the end of age.
They didn't grow up to become men.
مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ لِلْجَالِكُمْ.
None of Rasulullah's sons grew up to become men. Allah took them all away at the end of age.
But Rasulullah had daughters.
Fatima radiallahu anha wasn't the Prophet's only daughter. She was the Prophet's youngest daughter, yes, and most beloved, yes.
Sayyidatu Nisa Ahli Jannah.
But there were others. Other women were the Prophet's daughters, and the Zainab was his eldest daughter.
Rasulullah loved her very dearly and was sure to suffer in the cause of Allah.
When she was going to the Hijrah, she was meant to marry Abu al-Asim al-Rabi.
And when she was going to make Hijrah on the Meccan shore, the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making Hijrah.
When she was bound, seated on a camel,
a person threw a spear in her stomach, which went through. She was expecting cause of bleeding and cause of miscarriage.
The wound healed on the surface, but internally didn't heal.
She always used to suffer bleeding.
Eventually, in that state, after many years of suffering, she passed away.
Ruqayya radiallahu anha was married with Usman.
When Rasulullah went to Badr, she was ill.
Rasulullah left her along with Usman to take care of her.
When Rasulullah returned from Badr, she also passed away.
And Rasulullah left her with the Yusuf to Usman.
In the meantime, Fatima married with Ali.
Initially, Abu Bakr proposed for her. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't accept the proposal.
Then Hazrat Umar proposed for the Fatima.
Rasulullah didn't accept him either.
Then Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu,
they realized Rasulullah wants someone younger.
So they said to Ali, Ali, why don't you propose for Fatima?
Hazrat Ali said, I don't have anything, how can I?
Then, don't worry, you go and propose, then we help you out, we hope you out.
Hazrat Ali went, just like any young man who be for such an interview would pass.
Come that old smile, as the next came out, old smile, as the Abu Bakr Umar realized,
as the proposal was being accepted.
So the Rasulullah asked Ali, what do you have?
He had an armor
and she sold.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him,
sell whatever he can and make arrangements.
As Ali radiallahu anhu was going, he set his armor in the market, and Usman came,
Ali, where are you going?
Rasulullah has accepted my proposal for his
beloved daughter Fatima to marry,
and I'm going to sell this in order to pay for my wedding.
And then Usman said, how much do you want?
400 dirhams.
Okay, give me the armor.
As Usman voted,
Ali, here's a wedding present.
This is my wedding present.
So, Hazrat Usman as though paid for the wedding of Hazrat Ali with Hazrat Fatima.
And people have hypothetically criticized him.
Hazrat Usman could have just given him the money, but Hazrat Usman realized
he had physically taken part in the Battle of Badr.
He was much older than Hazrat Ali, and he realized and he thought Ali is young and strong and brave, he will never stay behind.
In an opportunity to go in the path of Allah.
I'm an old man, I'm not with many chances,
but if I have given him an armor which he wears when he goes in the path of Allah, whatever Ali does in the path of Allah, I will automatically get the reward.
That was Hazrat Usman's wisdom.
Hazrat Usman, Abu Bakr Umar, what a witness this was Fatima Ali's wedding.
It was Abu Bakr Umar who put up Hazrat Ali to go and ask for this Fatima's hand in marriage.
That Allah blessed them with his sons.
1 year later, Allah blessed his Ali and Fatima with his sons.
Rasulullah came by, Ali,
Mubarak,
what do you want to name him?
Harbu ya Rasulullah.
Harbu means what?
Rasulullah said, Hassan.
1 year later, Allah blessed him with another son.
Rasulullah came by again,
Ali, what do you want to name him?
Harbu ya Rasulullah.
First time I wanted to name him, but you said Hassan, I couldn't say anything.
Ya Rasulullah, as though,
you know, as though,
Harb,
the
Whatever you say, Ya Rasulullah. You are Rasulullah. Kul say no. Rasulullah doesn't have any advice. Once Rasulullah said, Yuhibbullah wa Rasuluhu, Yuhibbullah wa Rasuluhu. He loves Allah and his messenger, Allah and his messenger will love him. Yuhibbullah wa Rasuluhu, Yuhibbullah wa Rasuluhu. He loves Allah and his messenger, Allah and his messenger loves him. Rasulullah gave him his daughter in marriage. Somebody said, what's the difference between Abu Bakr and Ali? And somebody answered, Ali is the one who's taking everything from Rasul. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said himself, whenever I asked Rasulullah for anything, whenever Rasulullah got anything, he would set aside a share for me. And if you didn't, and I would ask Rasulullah anything, any time Rasulullah would never say no to me. So whatever Ali wanted, radiallahu anhu, took from Rasulullah. But Abu Bakr presented everything to Rasulullah. Ali came to the Prophet's door asking for his hand in marriage. Abu Bakr presented his daughter in marriage to Rasulullah. Whenever Ali wanted anything from Rasulullah, he came to Rasulullah. Whenever Abu Bakr had anything, he offered it to Rasulullah. To take anything from Rasulullah is very blessed. But taking is taking and giving is giving. Taking anything from Rasulullah is noble, but presenting anything to Rasulullah is a word of his own. So Abu Bakr is Abu Bakr Umar is Umar. Somebody said, we love Ali so much. The reason being, Ali never turned his back to Rasulullah throughout his life. He was always by Rasulullah's side. Had Ali ever turned his back to Rasulullah, we would have turned our backs to Ali. So Ali, because he never turned his back to Rasulullah, we never turned our back. So Ali loved Ali so much. I said, we also accept and respect Ali, radiallahu anhu, and we salute him that he never turned his back to Rasulullah, never abandoned him. But what can we do? Abu Bakr and Umar didn't abandon Rasulullah even after that. They have been with Rasulullah 1400 years. Everyone in many of them just jammed. And lies with him, be with him on the front and beyond for eternity. That is Abu Bakr and Umar. Allah gave us Ali and Fatima son, Hassan and Hussein. Rasulullah passed away. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu became Khalifa. They say, it was the life of Ali radiallahu anhu, but Abu Bakr oppressed him. Abu Bakr oppressed no one. Abu Bakr oppressed no one. Umar oppressed no one. They took care of Hazrat Ali. They looked after his needs. They looked after Hassan and Hussein. When in the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Fatima has just passed away. Ali is a young man. While Hazrat Fatima was alive, Hazrat Ali could not marry another woman. He wanted to marry another woman. Abu Jahl's daughter, just as any young man, if he wants to get his second wife, what will the first wife say? What will the... Any of you try to get his second wife? Try. Many of you will say, oh my God, what are you? I'm going. You want to bring her here? You bring her here. I'm leaving. When Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha heard that Ali is getting his second wife, she picked up Hassan and Hussein and went to sit to the Prophet's house. The Prophet came by and Fatima, what are you doing here? Ali wants to get his second wife. Rasulullah went to sit with the people. And this isn't in Bukhari and Muslim, and this is in Kilaul Uyun, written by Bulla Fatih Madrasi. Many of you see smartphones and see, mashallah, ask Sheikh Google. People carry smartphones and people are only half as smart as some of these phones, they wouldn't have half the problem. Phones have become smarter and people are less smart. But nevertheless, mashallah, Sheikh Bukhari, Mullah Fatih Madrasi is. Sheikh Bukhari will tell you probably the most powerful Shia scholar of all time. He has written many books. This is Jilal Uyun. Here, Mullah Fatih Madrasi says, Hazrat Fatima went home. Rasulullah came to the minbar. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ali wants to marry a Pujar, don't I won't stop him. That is his heart. But
get to be most mindful of first. A person can't have a daughter of Rasul in his marriage and marry another woman. This is khususiyat of our day. But that is very wanting.
People say Abu Bakr upset Fatima. Abu Bakr didn't upset Fatima. Mullah Basir Majlisi says, as Ali upset Fatima at least four times.
If Abu Bakr upset Fatima only once, not four times.
But as Ali, according to Mullah Basir Majlisi, upset Fatima many times.
And every time as Ali upset her, she would run to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's house.
She had to, he was her father.
The people are going to point fingers at Abu Bakr. You've got to be careful because you have to point four fingers at Ali. So when Rasulullah said, if he wants to marry, I got his choice, but he has to divorce my daughter first. So he said that he could not marry another woman as long as his partner was alive. When she passed away, Ali was a young man, radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr saw Ali needs a wife. He had sent a campaign with Khalid ibn Walid to Musaylimah al-Kadhaf. Then he even came and said this, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, his truthful gaze, the gaze of his siddiq, saw a woman. And Abu Bakr picked her out, not for himself, for his own son. He said, Ali, take this woman. I'm hopeful that I'll be barakah to her. And as Ali's favorite son, after Hassan and Hussein, was born to Hazrat Ali through this woman given to him by Abu Bakr. And then Hazrat Hassan and Hussein were very scared when they could be married. Muslims were fighting on the Persian front. Many women were brought as captives, including the princess of Persia, Shahr Bano. Hazrat Umar looked at them and he didn't give her to his own son. He gave the princess of Persia to the prince of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as Hussein. So Abu Bakr and Umar took care of the Prophet Hussein. Didn't oppress them. Hazrat Hussein didn't refuse. Umar, how dare you give me a woman, I'll make my own choice. No. Ali didn't say that to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu either.
Whatever Abu Bakr offered, Ali accepted. Whatever Umar radiallahu anhu offered, Hazrat Hussein accepted. Together, they would visit Ali Muawiyah, stay by his house, accept his hospitality, stay with him. Hazrat Ali Muawiyah would entertain them, be hospitable to them, give them presents.
Hassan and Hussein, radiallahu anhu, would accept them, come back happily to Medina.
Nobody said a word to them. They lived free, independently.
When Hussein, radiallahu anhu, when Nabi Muawiyah passed away, when Nabi Muawiyah radiallahu anhu passed away, the 60th year after Hijrah, the month of Rajab, towards the later part of his life, Amir Muawiyah, he was a very intelligent, a very pious, a very sincere, a very generous, and a very wise ruler.
Unfortunately, exactly, many Sunnis don't know. And many supposed Sunnis, Jahil Sufis, they have the audacity, foolishness, ignorance and arrogance to open their foul mouths against such a great Sahabi of Rasulullah. He was a true servant and a soldier of Islam.
Had he not been, Hassan and Hussein would have given their hands in his hands. The topic of today's story was tragedy of Karbala. Unfortunately, I can't go for 20 minutes or half an hour. Sadly, my own weakness. I wanted to put you in the picture. Because people every year, they beat themselves. Every year they mourn and they mark the tragedy of Karbala. I know that is the only tragedy.
Indeed, nobody justifies Karbala. No reason. But people, they throw dust in your eyes. And people, Sunnis, they're happy to just rub their eyes and act blind. They don't want to know the truth overall, the
bigger picture. And I wanted to present to you the bigger picture. When Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, the 68th year of the Hijrah, when he passed, short before he passed away, he had seen the Muslim Ummah had come out of two civil wars. Many thousands had died in those civil wars. He did not want the Muslims to enter into a third civil war, which would have caused untold damage. So he, out of his sincerity, piety, out of his humility, out of his kindness and wisdom, affection for the Ummah to save them from further bloodshed, consulted many companions, and after extensive discussion, it was decided with consensus or on the advice of many of the senior people at the time that the most suitable candidate is his own son Yazid. They agreed. He wasn't the most knowledgeable. He wasn't the most pious. But in light of the circumstances, probably the most suitable. There was no senior Sahabi around. The people who were children in the time of Rasulullah, they were now old men. Both the senior Sahaba had passed away. And at the time, now Islam had expanded and spread far and wide. There were four main candidates, four senior personalities. The most senior and pious of all, Hazrat Hussein, radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Hassan had already passed away 10 years earlier. Hazrat Ali, Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman, Talha, Saad, and others had already passed away. Hazrat Hussein was only 7-8 years old at the time Rasulullah passed away. Now even he was in his late 50s. Abdullah bin Zubayr was the other one. And Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, since his father Hazrat Ali, when he was Khalifa, he had never appointed Hazrat Hussein to be governor of even a village. Nobody for a moment can dispute the piety, the goodness, nobility of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu. But Hazrat Hassan and Hussein after that, especially Hazrat Hussein, had kept himself at a distance from politics and state affairs, dedicating his life to remembrance of Allah, teaching and learning deen. The other main candidate was Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubayr, grandson of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, son of Hazrat Zubayr. Grandson of Abu Bakr because of his daughter Asma radiallahu anha, sister of Hazrat Aisha, her son. And the other third main candidate was Abdullah ibn Umar. But Abdullah ibn Umar, son of Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Umar had given him strict orders. He can be an advisor but not be a candidate for any rulership. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu was always on the advisory panel, but never any governor, because of strict advice of his father Umar. He said, Umar is enough in the family of Khattab to be answerable in the court of Allah for any responsible affairs. I don't want any other member of my family to be in this position. And the fourth one was Yazid. Yazid was the son of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah. Used to be with him in Damascus. Damascus was the capital of the Islamic world. For over 20 years, he had grown up in the capital around Amir Muawiyah, seeing international affairs being handled. And because Damascus at the time was capital, had been for over 20 years. And so the people of Sham, they were very close to and loyal, faithful and obedient to Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. And the people of Sham, they wanted Yazid more than anybody else. So for the capital seat to be strong is a fundamental requirement. So in light of the overall situation, Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, along with the advice of many of the senior people of the time, decided Yazid would be the best choice for the successor to Amir Muawiyah. Some people criticized him that how come you are appointing your son? And many people do that Amir Muawiyah, he started this despicable innovation of appointing his son.
to be his successor.
But isn't that exactly what they say? That Rasulullah appointed his own son-in-law to be his successor.
As a hadith, who is he?
The Prophet's son-in-law. So if Amir Muawiyah did the wrong by appointing his own son, but isn't that what they say? Rasulullah appointed his son-in-law because he didn't have his own son. So you can't have double standards. If that is wrong, then how come that is justified? And as Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, when he heard people are against the appointment of his son, on Juman Khutbah, on the member of Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, said, Ya Allah, you are witness that I have not appointed my son Yazid simply because he is my son. Ya Allah, if his appointment to be my successor is based purely on fatherly love, Ya Allah, take him away before my son. Which father can do that? I'm not defending Yazid for one moment for what he did. But as Amir Muawiyah saw very difficult times, and in difficult times, many difficult decisions need to be made. And Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, out of his sincerity, did the best he can. My son has ended up with the best and the right result. But what happens in the future is only known to Allah. He did not know what Yazid will become. So when Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu passed away, most people had already given allegiance to Yazid. By far, 99%. Few hadn't. It was their choice. They chose not to give allegiance, including Abdullah ibn Zubair and Hussein radiallahu anhu. They didn't give allegiance. They didn't see Yazid was the right man. That was it. That was their stand. So they didn't give allegiance. When Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu passed away, the news reached Medina. The governor of Medina, he asked Hazrat Hussein to come by. To come by and offer allegiance. After Isha Salah, Mullah Baqir Majlisi says in Jilaul Uyud, the governor of Medina, and Khomeini has written in the Hukumat al-Islamiyah, Shiaism is as Mullah Baqir Majlisi has written in his books. And Baqir Majlisi, the most powerful Shia scholar of all time, he is saying, after Isha Salah, the governor of Medina, who was appointed by Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he requested Hazrat Hussein to come by, and then he told him the news that Amir Muawiyah has passed away and his son Yazid has assumed leadership. So I've been asked to take allegiance from you for me, that you accept him as a ruler. Many people, they would have to believe that giving allegiance to Yazid was a matter of kufr and Islam, hence the Hazrat Hussein refused. If that was the case, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu said, would you rather I give allegiance to you in the privacy of your house or in public? If giving Yazid allegiance was a matter of kufr, would Hazrat Hussein have said that? Ask Mawlana Ilyas Samai Masala. If a person says, I am thinking about becoming a kafir in 6 months. Let alone 6 months, he will become a kafir straight away. So if giving Yazid allegiance was kufr, would Hazrat Hussein said, you rather give your allegiance to you?
No.
In public? So you should give allegiance to Yazid. What is the matter of kufr and Islam? Hazrat Hussein asked, give me time to think. No problem, you think it over. No profession, Hazrat Hussein. In the meantime, after a few days, Hazrat Hussein decided to leave Medina and go to Makkah. He remained in Medina for 3 days. Everybody knew Hazrat Hussein. Hazrat Hussein wasn't an unknown personality. Grandson of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How did he get known? No one pressured Hazrat Hussein into anything. Hazrat Hussein left his machine and go to Makkah with his women, folk and children. How far is Makkah from Medina? 400 kilometers. Safe, protected, CCTV tested from the season on the way? Or jungle and desert?
Jungle
and desert. If Yazid wanted Hazrat Hussein to be killed out of the way,
what would have been a good place?
Or who? Would anybody have known?
No.
Few days later, on the 3rd of Shaban, Rajab Shaban, the month after Rajab is Shaban, 3rd of Shaban, Mullah of the emergency says, Hussain radiallahu anhu reached Makkah safely, not a scar on his body or anybody is having him.
In other words, no intervention. He reached Makkah safely, 3rd of Shaban.
Shaban, Ramadan, Shawwal, Zulqa'dah, 4 months. Who is Hazrat Hussain? The most famous, most pious, most knowledgeable person in the whole Islamic world. Grandson of Rasulullah. 4 months he lived in Makkah. Nobody said anything to him.
There are people who did say something. People in Kufa, whereas Ali had made his sector, Hazrat Hassan had made his sector.
And he had seen, Hazrat Ali had seen people of Kufa betray him. Give him tough time. Hazrat Hassan had seen the people of Kufa betray him. He saw no option but to relinquish his khilafah in favor of Abu Muawiyah. And he made peace with him. Why? Because the people of Kufa, they were unfaithful, they were not loyal, they were treacherous.
They start sending letters to Hazrat Hussain radiallahu anhu. They say, we haven't accepted him as our ruler. We have no intention to be religious. We don't want to accept him. Please come over to us. Lead us. We will rebel against Yazid. We will help you throw or overthrow Yazid.
12,000 letters to Ulama came on the sea day.
Not a hadwaya from Bukhari or Muslim.
Mullah Baqir Majlisi gave 12,000 letters. Hazrat Hussain radiallahu anhu received from the people of Kufa. We are waiting for you. You are the grandson of Rasulullah. Please come over. We are your lovers. We are your Shia. We are your people. We long for you. We want you.
Everybody says to Hussain, please don't listen to them. They are traitors.
They betray your father. They betray your brother. Brother,
they will be killing you as well.
They are not faithful people.
Don't listen to them. But they kept telling me letter after letter after letter. Please, begging Hazrat Hussain to go home.
Hazrat Hussain eventually decided to leave. Proceed towards Kufa.
If Yazid wanted him out of the way and killed, almost 1,000 kilometers from Makkah to Kufa, desert.
He's only traveling with women, folk, and children, only 70 odd people.
On a route to Yazid and sent him just a small army. Would that not have been enough? He didn't do that.
As the Hussain reaches outskirts of Kufa, people have sent him 12,000 letters. In the meantime, the Hussain sent his cousin Muslim bin Aqil to go and investigate, see the situation, tell the people that I'm coming. 100,000 people gave allegiance from the hands of Muslim bin Aqil.
We are ready to give our lives for the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
He sent a message. Everybody is ready. They can't wait. Hazrat Hussain reaches the borders of Kufa.
He hasn't come. He's been invited.
So if you invite someone, telling him, come, we protect you with our lives. He reaches your doorstep. Whose responsibility is yours? When Hazrat Hussain radiallahu anhu reaches Kufa, these very people who invited him, claimed to be his lovers, used to say, Ya Hussain, Ya Hussain! Now they turn against him. They are sitting around him. Hazrat Hussain had spent 5 years in Kufa, where his father Hazrat Ali was Amir al-Mu'mineen. Kufa was Darul Khilafah, was the capital. Qadirul Rasuhli Muradis al-Mu'mineen says, every living soul in Kufa at the time was a Shia. They invited Hazrat Hussain to Kufa. He's now at their borders. 100,000 people raised their swords, promised to protect him. Now Hazrat Hussain reaches their doorstep. They turn against him. Mullah Baqir Majlisi says, on the 10th of Muharram, when the enemy lines were lined up to fight him, he looked at them, recognized them,
You are the man who invited me. You said you wanted to support me. You called me over. You said you loved me. You said you will protect me. Now you join the ranks of my enemies that want to kill me. They didn't listen to anything. The battle started. Mullah Baqi Madrasi says, I don't have time. I've already gone over time. I've got 5 minutes more. Mullah Baqi Madrasi says, when the battle started, the first man to step forward in honor and defense of Hazrat Hussein, Hazrat Ali had 14 sons. Everybody knows the name of Hassan and Hussein, huh? Three of Hazrat Ali's sons, their names were Muhammad, Muhammad, Muhammad. Muhammad Akbar, Muhammad Asad, Muhammad Asad. Big Muhammad, little Muhammad, small Muhammad. Three of two is?
Five.
One was Abdullah, one was Abdullah.
Seven.
Four named after family members. Ja'far, Yahya, Umar, and Abbas. Seven and four is?
11.
He had 14 altogether. 14 minus 11. He's how many?
Three.
One is named Abu Bakr, one Umar, one Usman. If Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman had done nothing wrong, would he have named his children after him? In our language, Urdu, Punjabi. And if Suhail Umar said, get out of my sight, I never want to see you again. If Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman had wrong, then he would have named his son after him. And in Pathan, is a tribe from Pakistan. This isn't being racist, though, it's a joke. Don't be a joke. One Pathan named his son Narada. You know, these Afghanis, and they are Pathans. So they are fighting with them. So one Pathan named his son America. Somebody said, you Pathan named your son America. I thought Pathans don't like America. He goes, that's it. I want to tell the world, Pathan is father of America. Pathan is father of America. So if Ali hated Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman, would he have named his sons after them? On the hands of Muhammad in Karbala, when the Hussein was under fire, by his own supporters who murdered him and betrayed him. And they wanted to kill him. First man who set forward in honor of the Hussein was Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr ibn Ali. He was martyred. Number two, Mullah Baqi Madrasi says, page 244. Abdullah ibn Umar ibn Khattab in the Urdu version, second man who stepped forward was Umar ibn Ali. And Mullah Baqi Madrasi says, the third person who stepped forward in honor and defense of Hazrat Hussein was Usman ibn Ali. And then, when these three noble sons of Hazrat Ali, with these blessed names, Abu Bakr, Umar, and Usman, when they are martyred, then others presented themselves. And eventually, when everybody was left as martyred, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu was left alone. Mullah Baqi Madrasi says, Hazrat Hussein at that time was 57 years old. How old?
57.
Is that young or old?
Old.
Old man, 57, huh? At the age of 57, after having traveled for many weeks through the desert and having been deprived of water and food for days, at the age of 57, Hazrat Hussein killed 1,950 homeless. How many? 1,000. Is it in here? I remember the time in the day of Ramadan, I'm sure. Anyone who I know will show you honor and but the whole thing you would want to see. 1,950 people on the sense of Muhammad ibn Karbala at the age of 57, after having been on a journey for many weeks and be hungry and thirsty. The day Rasulullah left this world, Hazrat Ali was only 33 years old, having been in a journey. Hazrat Hussein was fighting 30,000 soldiers, killed 2,000 soldiers. Hazrat Ali, if Khilafat was his right, only had to kill three old men. Abu Bakr was 61 years old. Hazrat Umar was 51 years old. Hazrat Usman was almost 60 years old. If the son can kill 2,000, the father is lying up on him. 33 years old, half his age. Does Hazrat Ali do that? Does Hazrat Ali take a sword out against Hazrat Abu Bakr? Then Umar, then Usman?
When Hussein radiallahu anhu is meant to be martyred at the plain of Karbala, he gave his head. He refused to bow down to the demand of the Yazid people and his government. And eventually he gave his head, achieved shahadat, something he's belonging, something Rasulullah longed for, something every Muslim should long for. What does that tell you? I don't know what it tells you, but it tells me Abu Bakr was on haq, Umar was on haq, Usman was on haq. Why? Because when Hazrat Hussain refused to give his hand in the hand of the Yazid, he gave his head, but not his hand. But Ali gave his hand in the hand of Abu Bakr, then he gave his hand in the hand of Umar, not only his own hand, he gave his hand of his daughter Umar as well. Then he gave his hand in the hand of Usman, acknowledging, accepting, and believing Abu Bakr is a haq, Umar is a haq, and Usman is a haq. Somebody said, who was the bravest of the Sahaba? I said, you won't like the answer. We believe Ali was the bravest. But they believe Abu Bakr was the strongest. We say, who was strongest? Hazrat Ali. But they say, Abu Bakr was the strongest. Why? A brave man, even if someone who can fight, even a bully can push his weight around. A brave man, a real, true brave man, is someone strong and brave and fearless, but honest and truthful as well. A brave man knows who's right. So true, honest, brave man is fearless, but yet accepts the truth. You agree with me? Huh? Someone who can just go around teaching people, who is he? A bully. And he wasn't a bully. And he was truly strong and brave and fearless lion of Allah. But he was also honest and truthful. He knew Khilafat is who's haq. Abu Bakr. So he accepted him. But the Shia, they say, Khilafat was Ali's haq. Abu Bakr, the old man, 61-year-old man, snatched it from Ali, but Ali couldn't take it back. So who is stronger? If you are 23-year-old strong man, your haq, your ownership, your right, somebody takes it away from you, and you want it badly, because Mullah Baqi Majid is the Hayatul Qulub. He said, when Rasulullah passed away, Hazrat Ali went door to door with Fatima, Hassan and Hussein, campaigning for most people to support me, Khilafat is mine, Abu Bakr has taken it from me. So he went door to door asking for support. You think he wanted it or not? So he wants it, but who's taking it? Abu Bakr. How old is Abu Bakr? 61. So if Abu Bakr is taking Khilafat from Hazrat Ali and he belongs to him and Ali can't have it back, so who is stronger? If something belongs to you, you want it badly, but someone comes and snatches it from you and you can't have it back, what does that do? That you're a coward. You weaken. We say Hazrat Ali was lying of Allah. They say he was lying of Allah, but practically they say Ali was going around door to door begging for more because he could not have what he wanted. Is that love and respect for Ali or is that humiliation and insulting? So who insults Ali? Sunnis or Shias?
Shias.
Well, Hazrat Hussain is in Karbala, he looks up at him and he says, you called me. You said you were defending me, but now you are killing me. Hazrat Hussain is beheaded. His survivors, they get taken to Kufa. Women, people are weeping, crying. Hazrat Hussain's sister Zainab, radiallahu anha, she says, oh, you people, why are you mourning and crying? It is you who called us here, and then you killed us. In any murder case, if there is a murder, number one, you look at the crime scene. Where is the crime?
is the crime in Makkah or Medina? Crime is in Kufa, on the outskirts of Kufa. Kufa is the town where the supporters of Hassan al-Hussein live. They are the ones who called him. Every single Kufi at the time, Fayyur al-Shatri has been was a Shia. They called him. They betrayed him. Hazrat Hussein says, "You killed me." Hazrat Hussein's sister says, "Your people killed us." His own son, Imam Zain al-Abidin Mullah Baqir Majlisi says, "You killed us." And finally, they are taken to the court of Yazid. I am not defending Yazid. I am not a defender of Yazid. But all I am saying, if you want to put the blame where the blame is due. Where does the Hussein put the blame? Where his sisters put the blame? Where his daughters put the blame? Where his son put the blame? If there's a survivor and he testifies, if a person who committed the crime, if he pleads guilty, does it leave any doubt? Let me ask you, if Yazid was the real culprit, Hazrat Hussein has been killed, his head has been removed, all his brothers have been killed, his children have been killed, his only surviving son, Ali bin Hussein, also known as Zain al-Abidin, he is taken to the court of Yazid. If Hazrat Hussein's son, who was only witness, surviving witness from Karbala, if he considered Yazid to be the culprit, the story books are filled with all sorts of garbage. But we listen to it. Sunni Shia history says, Imam Zain al-Abidin, rahimahullah, the only surviving son of Hazrat Hussein, stayed in Yazid's house 15 days, eating with him at his table, sleeping in his house, accepting his hospitality. Whatever anybody says to you, what do facts do to you? Let me put you on the question, ask you a simple question. Allah forbid, may Allah protect all of you and your family. But if anybody kills all your brothers, your sons, every member of your family, and then you are the only survivor, and then the murderer invites you to his house, will you accept his invitation?
No.
He gives you food, will you eat his food?
No.
He asks you to stay with him in his house, will you stay with him?
No.
What will people say if you did? What will your own conscience say? Was Hazrat Hussein's son, was he truthful or not? Was he honest or not? Was he his father, be his father, be his son or not? So when Imam Zain al-Abidin, rahimahullah, Hazrat Hussein's only surviving son, stays in Yazid's house 15 days, eating with him, drinking on his table, sitting in his, sleeping in his house, accepting his hospitality, 15 days. What does that tell you, for God's sake? In our language, there's a saying, a thief, when he stole it, and he's running with his theft, and people see, they say, thief, 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 oh thief, then the thief says, oh thief, 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 thief. So that people look at somebody else, he wants to get away with murder. So people who lay their brain elsewhere, and they say, he did it. But Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, not my book, not Bukhari Muslim, Mullah Baqir Majlisi, Khomeini says, Shia even as Baqir Majlisi has written in his books, he said, Hazrat Hussein said, the Shias of Kufa killed him. Hazrat Hussein's son, Imam Zain al-Abidin says, the Shias of Kufa killed him. And Imam Hussein's sister, they said, Shias of Kufa killed him. Hazrat Hussein's daughter, they said, Shias of Kufa killed him. So who killed him?
Shias of Kufa.
So the tragedy of Karbala come every year. It's a death throwing dust in the eyes of people. And Allah is punishing the people. And Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha, the sister of Hazrat Hussein, when she came to Kufa, saw the people weeping and crying. She said, may Allah punish you with your own hands. So the dua of Hazrat Zainab
the people who say, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, they don't do it because of love of Hazrat Hussein. They do it because of the fatwa of Hazrat Hussein. Because they are the culprits.
Hazrat Hussein lived in Medina almost 6 years. Nobody made a finger at him. Nobody said anything to him. He was evil. Evil. Tempted. Betrayed. And then killed by the very people who claim to be his lovers. May Allah guide us and may Allah save us. May Allah grant us true understanding. May Allah grant us the love of the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah keep us on the right path of the Prophet.